Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Jesus, you're my everything, yeah. My everything is you, Lord. Yeah.
Because if it had not been for you, we would not be here.
We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. We pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
There's a train coming, don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord, yeah. Train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key, open up the doors and board them. There's room for all among those love the most, yeah. So people get ready, there's a train.
Daryl Dixon on the saxophone. I believe there are many ways to worship. Amen. We worship with our words. We worship with our instruments. We can worship with our entire bodies. My only prayer is that it's pleasing to the Lord. That's our only prayer. Only prayer that pleases you, though.
There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those, Lord, whose chances grow thinner. There ain't no hiding place from the kingdom throne, yeah. So people get ready, there's a train. Just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel's humming, yeah. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Leroy, take your time, dude. Take your time. Thank you. sometimes. You know what I'm talking about, worship? And right here is my good friend David Watson, plays the flute as well as the saxophone. In fact, he considers himself more of a flute player even still than a sax player. At least that's what your old man said. This is your turn, man. Sing on to the Lord a new song.
You've heard the words since you were in Sunday school. You have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies. A counselor, a friend, a minister of music, whatever capacity you'll serve in, on mission field or here at home, you'll use these two words. And they are, trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease, detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. And you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know. You memorized them in vacation Bible school or when you were growing up at the knee of a godly mother and or father. And your lips will move as I quote them, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways, trust. Trust. Now we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are to blame self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds and you leave this school and you're involved in your church, your work of ministry, your realm of responsibility, you'll meet other people. Many of them much smarter than you are. Most of them richer than you are. Better connected than you are. And some of them will become good friends. And they will become your crutch. They have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. Don't feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting him. I will trust him. The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork. Some course, some class, some test. Or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. I'll give you a word of encouragement. You'll never have enough money. So you're worried now. You're getting good at it, so you can carry that with you when you graduate, because you won't have enough money then. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. I remember attending a Navigator conference when Lawrence Sanney was president. We were at Glen Eyrie, and they had a returned missionary, I think 87, 88-year-old gentleman, who Lauren brought up to the platform, and he's a longtime navigator. And Lauren said, tell me, Dr. So-and-so, when did you conquer lust? The old man said, well, Lauren, hasn't happened yet. You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh. You want to, but the only way you will get through it so that you will learn from the test is to trust. To trust. To put the worry on hold, to set it aside, deliberately shoving it away and saying, God, at this moment, I rest in you. And you alone. If you're married, God help my spouse and me to trust you. To lean on you, to wait on you, to listen to you, to endure the test with you. I put together a quick list of things that reveal how little we trust. When you choose to worry, you do not trust. When you try to fix what is impossible, you do not trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord to move and to change, you do not trust. When you lie awake twisting and turning at night, you do not trust. When you doubt biblical principles and promises that are right here in the book you love and study, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help, you do not trust. When you listen to human counsel and give a higher priority to that than the principles you have just learned, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver situations, you do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying and being led by the Spirit of God, you do not trust. When you cling to others in order to feel secure and needed and loved, you do not trust. The list goes on and on. See how easy it is to live in the flesh, how easy it is to disobey. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wouldn't it be a great project over the Christmas season this year to think through ways that you can begin to trust God regardless? Hopefully it'll be a project that you and a good friend or you and your mate can enter together. What is it we do that keep us from trusting God? And how can we break that habit and watch God break through in ways that we would never have expected? Cynthia and I have a longtime friend who was raised with four brothers in Southwest Texas. They were raised on a very poor ranch. They eked out a living. One of the brothers wound up getting into Baylor, going on to UCLA Law School and earning his degree in law, and has since become a very fine attorney in the Southern California area. We've been friends since the mid-1970s. One of his four brothers stayed at the ranch and developed it, cultivated it. The other brothers moved away, as did our friend. And the one who stayed, along with his wife, really turned the ranch into something much more successful. Grew crops that worked, got cattle, bred them, sold them, little by little, kind of got on their feet, and finally became pretty much financially stable. Then the fires of 2011 across Texas swept through their area. And they came to that ranch. By now they knew they would lose all the cattle. They simply opened the gate, and amazingly, those animals know where to go. Usually know where to go to find shelter and safety. And they fled. Hundreds of them. And they barely left, unable to get anything, much of anything in their pickup, and they drove away. Came back a number of days later when allowed to enter this territory, and everything was melted. Everything. Even the metal roof on the shed, on the barn, had melted down and sort of peeled its way over, and what it landed on, it kind of was that metal profile. As everything is lost, all possessions, all pictures, thankfully no lives. Strangely, the cattle got back and were clustered around in a herd around an enormous oak tree, and they were able to get them back. Of course, the fence had burned, so that has to be rebuilt. And they said to one another, we realize at that moment our faith would either kick into action or we would move far away from the God we had loved and served. They chose the former. They determined they would rebuild. They're in the process right now. Living with a brother, putting house and home back together, having lost it all. The Lord taught me through my shameful response. He'll win this battle. Trust him. Trust me. Trust God. Just to rest upon his promises. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Trust God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God this morning for another Wednesday morning. And I've heard the saying many times, oh, it's hump day. I'm so glad. Oh, over half the week gone, and we can get back to the weekend quicker. And so we thank God today. We thank God for another Wednesday morning. And today is Wednesday, December the 1st, 2021. And I've got a few things going on, but I want to celebrate. I want to start celebrating Christmas. And I was told Christ must come. It's why we call it Christmas. And I thank God today that he sent his son, born of a virgin, wasn't born in a special hospital or special birth unit. He didn't have a special midwife, but he was born in a stable, laid in a manger. And we thank God this morning. We thank him for this special gift to us. Yeah, the gift of the world, you hear me? God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him won't perish today, but have everlasting life. And I often think about this because there are many perishing daily because people refuse to give their hearts and their lives to Almighty God. But we got to give our hearts to God. Yeah. And allow him to become the God of our lives. Yeah. All that we have should be hid in him. Yeah. All our spiritual walk, everything should be hid in him because it's our life. And when your life is hid in Christ, you're protected. You are protected. What other people get, you won't get it. Because your life is protected. Because we don't try to save our lives because we're losing. Yeah. But if we lose our life for his sake, then we are blessed. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Thank you, Jesus. And he's on our side today in spite of us, looking beyond our faults, yet meeting our needs. That's great news every day. Great news for us. And there's now no condemnation for us. We're walking in him. And so we thank him this morning. I found this old message from the 1800s. And it's by a preacher named Charles Spurgeon. And he's teaching the secret of loving God. The secret of loving God. And I thought I would play it for us today because it's so old. And if he knew way back then, we had to get it right with God. And what they call in this 20th century or 21st century, we should know this too, that we have to get it right with God. And we can't really worry about what they call denomination. Now, I didn't really see where Jesus taught that apostolic, Pentecostal, as churches or religion. I didn't see that. But I saw on the day of Pentecost. Yeah, I've seen that before. I know that John baptized. And there are many other religions, Methodists, all kind of stuff. But today I believe in the teachings of Jesus. I believe in all 66 books of the Bible. And I believe the Old Testament was written for our learning. And I believe this New Testament was written to live by daily. And we also can go back to the Old Testament and see what happened and live some of that. Yeah, we don't want to be like Moses and Aaron. Yeah, God say, speak to the rock. We don't want to hit it. We don't want to strike it. And he said, speak to it. That's everything. Many times they say, God didn't call women. But when I look back there was a woman named Deborah that led. And when I look over in the New Testament, you got some women over there too. Yeah, Priscilla. It's many. And they loved the Lord, and they lived according to what they believe his word told them to live. And see, because for me, when we all get there, we all make it in, and I know there will be male and females that make it in. I don't think we'll no longer be male and female. I think we'll just be the Spirit of God that lived in us on the earth. Yeah, and today even, when God speaks through a man or a woman, it is not them, it's the Spirit of the Lord that's using them. Or we hear their voice, yes, we hear their voice, but it is not them. It is God's Spirit that's using them. So we have a lot of stuff going on in the world that would keep people from coming to God. I can't come because a woman, I don't need her teaching me. Well, they've been abused somewhere in their childhood. I promise you, some woman has abused them as a boy. And the minute they heard that women are not in charge and shouldn't be in charge, oh, they jump on the bandwagon and ride out. But it's simply, and see, they don't realize it, say this about them. They don't realize that it says, I've been abused by a woman in my childhood. Because if they knew that, no way they would be out here saying, oh, a woman is not supposed to preach. Apostle Paul said for the woman to be quiet, of course, in the business meeting at the church, because the men ran the church and ran the business. And a number of other things. But it does not mean God cannot use them. That's not what it's talking about. Because many men will tell you, oh yeah, God used us the Bible for me. Many men will tell you that. He created them, male and female, he created them. And so God will use anybody that's willing to allow him to use them. And sometimes God will use us and we don't even know we're being used by him. And he has the right because he made us for his pleasure. We belong to him. And he can use us at anywhere at any time. And many times he does this because he loves us. And he know you wasn't just going to get up and do some work for him. So he just go on and use you. And one day when you stand before him, you'll be so happy that you did. You'll be so glad, oh, so glad that God was able to use me at some point in this life. That when I stand before him to prepare for that, to go into that other life, I'm thankful because this work will speak for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're thankful this morning for an old preacher from back in the day, I call it, way back in the 1800s. This man was preaching God, preaching love. Because when we look at 1 John, it teaches us, for God is love. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he is this morning. I know him in many loving ways. He saved me in love. Hallelujah. In loving kindness, God drew me to him. Yeah. He didn't draw me to him angry. He didn't draw me to him, beat me. He didn't beat me into him, but love and kindness. Now, there were many times the hard word preached, as they call it today. And some people say, well, they bust me into it. No, the word came forth, and God used the vessel in a way so that you will know he is real. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Louis. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. But we are all one in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank Galatians 3:28. And that bless us right there. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. So yes, God can use a whale. He can use a chicken. He can use a donkey. He can use a woman. He can use a man, a boy, or a girl. And some people hide. They don't want people to know, well, I listen to Jesus in the morning, or I've been over there because of what they said. But nonetheless, it's okay because it does not belong to me. It belongs to God. And the scripture says, whosoever will, let them come. So whoever come, we tell God thank you. And whoever bless, we tell God thank you. And we hold nothing against nobody, and we keep it moving. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Listen, y'all, pray for me today, and we were supposed to pray for Sister Ellis yesterday, and I got so hyped and caught up, I didn't pray, but nonetheless, I got a chance to pray, and then she texted me and some other stuff, but we thank God this morning that he is able to deliver us. He's able to heal us. He's able to save us. He know exactly to the letter what we need. And so we're thankful unto him this morning. Hallelujah. I'm grateful unto Almighty God. Well, I think I'm going to put me some red potpourri out, maybe red and green, and it smells like cinnamon, and I want to put out a poinsettia or two, and maybe put some stuff around the mantle in here. To celebrate Christmas. I don't know if I feel like it. I may do a tree. I don't feel like it right now. But in the event that I'm feeling it, I'm going to put a tree out. And some people, because I gave all my tree stuff away, but some people do it Thanksgiving night, you know, after dinner and everything. We used to sit and drink hot chocolate with marshmallows, and I would put pecans in mine. And we would sit around and pass the bugs to my dad and my mom, and they would put them on the tree. And we would be all excited because we knew what was going under that tree. We would get something from under the tree on December 25th. And I thank God. And since COVID being, and a little bit before, I was having a Christmas service every December the 25th in Atlantic Beach, Florida. And I call it Mayport, but it's Atlantic Beach, Florida. And we would go down and have a Christmas church service. And preachers would come from a little bit of everywhere. And each preacher got 5 minutes to expound on a word. It could be love. It could be praise. It could be any word. And they would go to the scripture and read the scripture right quick and talk about it for a few minutes. And if they went over 5 minutes, the bell was rang on you. You had to sit down because the bell was rang. And many times in these services, a preacher was bringing the word, and I was supposed to ring the bell, but I wasn't able to ring the bell because that word was good. Yeah, and it was coming forth. And so I just couldn't ring the bell and cut him off. And when the administrator would come, she would bring all kind of gifts for every speaker and a gift for me. And one year she bought these beautiful peacoats, like, yeah, nice. And she said, you know where I got these coats from? I said, no. She said, the Dollar Tree. I said, stop playing. You play too much. She said, no. These coats were, I think she told me they was in the Dollar Tree. Some store, inexpensive store. No, it couldn't have been the Dollar Tree. Some inexpensive store. And she got each coat for $20, I think she told me. But them coats were worth $100 and something. And she got them like the day before. I think she got them like Christmas Eve. I was like, look at this. But God bless every minister, every preacher to get a coat that year. Yeah. God is faithful. He is faithful. And he in our size. Yeah, that was another thing. God knows what's best for us today. And we trust him. And we going on in his name, not our name, but in his name. And we thank him this Wednesday morning. It's cold down around here. It may be 40 here today. It could be 39, but it's really chilly here for Florida for the weather we're used to. But the weatherman, Brother Louis, said it should be around 73 later today. So it gets cold at night and then cold in the morning, but it warms up by the afternoons. And sometimes we don't even know it was that cold that morning. Yeah. So it's like we're in the desert in a way. Yeah. But we thank God. We thank God this morning. I'm going to this one, this request right here. And I played it, I think it was yesterday, and dedicated it to Sister Rita. And I got another request. He said, I hadn't heard that song in so long. Oh, I was in my house just jumping and having a good time. I love that song. So I will play it again this morning for the requester. And we thank God. We thank God that we have it and we can play it. Hallelujah. Let's go to this one. And then when we come back, we're coming back with Pastor Charles Spurgeon and his message of the secret of loving God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hello? Am I on? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh, yeah. I'm the music major.
Somewhere to run.
hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Isaac Kari. And in the middle of it, in the middle of it, God will come and turn your situation around, and we're so grateful unto him. So listen, we're going in this morning with Pastor Charles Spurgeon, and his message is The Secret of Loving God. Hallelujah.
The Secret of Loving God. This sermon was first preached on August 15th in the year 1880 by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The text for this evening comes from the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. This morning, those of us who were here meditated on the connection between faith and love. So I thought this evening that we needed to pursue the same subject further, hoping that we might still receive divine instruction on this very important theme. You must have noticed how continually John blends faith with knowledge and love, as in the 16th verse of this chapter. We know and rely on the love God has for us. All through this epistle, he constantly repeats the words, we know, we know, we know, we know. And perhaps even more frequently, he uses the word love. Knowledge, faith, and love are interwoven together so closely that they cannot be separated. They are interwoven and united like the foundation of a fabric, and so they really become one. To know Christ, to trust Christ, to love Christ, these are among the elementary principles of holiness. Without all of these graces, there is no true religion, no true Christianity. But if these things are in us, and they abound in us, then we will never, never be harsh or unfruitful. When you notice that knowledge, faith, and love are placed like a set of precious jewels in a treasure chest, it leads you to see how necessary it is that all the powers of our nature should be renewed. Our intellects need to be regenerated so that we may be able to know Christ. For those who are unspiritual do not know him. They hear about him, but they are strangers to him. Spiritual things are only known to spiritual men and women. Faith is an act partly of the intellect and partly of the affections, and we must therefore have both head and heart renewed by the Spirit of God, or we shall not have true faith. Even though the mind may be purified, it will not be sufficient unless the soul is also cleansed. Because love to God never comes out of a foul and evil heart. It is a plant that will not grow on the dunghill of our corrupt nature. We must be transformed by the renewing of our minds, or else we can never know God, nor trust God, nor love God. In fact, it comes to this, as Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. There must be a thorough, real, radical change, not of this part or that, but of the whole person. He who sits on the throne said, I am making everything new. And all who come into his kingdom are made new creatures in Christ Jesus, just as much as if they had been annihilated and had been created over again. What a solemn influence this truth should exercise over us. In what a clear light is true religion thus set before us. It is no mere child's play, no matter to be settled offhand, without thought or consideration. Search yourselves and see whether the Spirit of God has produced in you the true knowledge, the true faith, and the true love. For otherwise, Whatever you may think you possess of any of these things is not of God. This short text is one from which I have often preached to you, and I hope to preach from it a good many more times if I am spared, for it is one of those inexhaustible wells into which you may let down the bucket every morning and always pull it up full. It is a mine with a good many veins of the richest ore. You may think that you have dug all of its treasures out, but you have only to sink a new shaft to find that there is another vein just as rich as a former one. And when you have brought all that wealth to the surface, and that may take your whole lifetime, someone else may sink another shaft and open up a fresh vein. I shall try to explain the text, first by showing you that our love to God is a fact which deserves an acknowledgement and a confession. Showing you that our love to God is a fact which deserves an acknowledgement and a confession. Is it a fact with you, dear friend, or is it not? Let every one of us answer this question for himself or herself. With some of us, blessed be God, it is a fact that we do love God. And it is a fact that is worth speaking out and worth writing down. The Holy Spirit himself thought it worthwhile to move John to write down for himself and for his brothers and sisters in Christ, we love him. Some feel that they must honestly confess that they do not love the Lord. And there may be others who are quite indifferent as to whether they love him or not. But there are some who must acknowledge their affection for him. The very stones in the street would cry out against them if they did not confess their love to their Lord. They feel compelled to say, in face of the whole world, we love him. They do not say it in a boastful way, for they give the reason why they love him, because he first loved us. A reason drawn from the grace of God, which prevents any boasting concerning it. Yet trustfully, boldly, without a second thought, they say it outright, so that everyone may hear it. We love him. Others may not, but we do. And we gather together as a company of his people who are agreed on this point, the point that we love him. We love God, especially as he is revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ, his one and only and dearly beloved Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. If you ask me, why should this fact be acknowledged and proclaimed? I answer first, because there is no good reason for concealing it. Why should this fact that we love Christ be acknowledged and proclaimed? The answer, because there is no good reason for concealing it. I cannot imagine a true Christian saying, I love Christ, but I don't want others to know that I love him, lest they should laugh at me. That is a reason to be laughed at, or rather, to be wept over. Afraid of being laughed at? Oh, friend, this is indeed a cowardly fear. Aren't there some of Christ's servants who live in the full view of the public and whose names are ridiculed every hour of the day? Yet has that ridicule ever broken their bones or their heart? Truly never. And if God makes us Christians, we ought never to be afraid of such a thing as a sneer or a jeer or a joke on account of our Christianity. Perhaps some will say that they do love Christ, but that if they publicly declare their affection for him, they would provoke opposition. Perhaps there are some who would say that they do love Christ, but that if they publicly declare their affection for him, they would only provoke opposition. Of course you would. Didn't God himself say so to the serpent in the Garden of Eden? He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. Did you expect the woman's offspring to be loving the Lord, and yet not to be opposed by the serpent's offspring? Didn't Jesus say to his disciples, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. You know how the world treated him, and shall the disciple be above his master, the servant above his Lord? So, my brothers and sisters, if you do love the Lord, say out loud, we love him. For there is no good reason why you should not affirm your affection for him. But on the other hand, there are abundant reasons why you must do so. First, you should publicly acknowledge your love for Christ because Jesus Christ deserves and demands that acknowledgement. You should publicly acknowledge your love for Christ because Jesus Christ deserves and demands that acknowledgement. He is not ashamed of his love for us. He left all the glories of heaven that he might take up our cause. And when we came to his feet, burdened and guilty and full of despair, there was not one lovely trait in our character to attract him towards us. Yet he took pity on us and loved us and saved us. And now he pleads for us in heaven. He is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. So surely we ought bravely and joyfully declare that we are on his side. We should not need any urging to make that declaration. But if we do, let us remember that Christ claims it. For he has said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. And he also said, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me, and the apposition you see makes the word disown mean he that does not confess me. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. Come then, brothers and sisters, since Christ demands it and so richly deserves it, let the acknowledgement of this fact be made, if in fact it is true, that we love him. Secondly, you should publicly acknowledge your love for Christ because it puts you among the most blessed company. You should publicly acknowledge your love for Christ because it puts you among the most blessed company. I wish I had the tongue of the eloquent so that I could depict for you that great cloud of witnesses up on high who with one voice cry out, we love him. If I asked everyone who is in heaven this very moment, who among you loves Jesus Christ? I would immediately hear a response like Niagara Falls in volume, but far sweeter in sound. We love him. And above all human and angelic voices comes the declaration of the Eternal Father. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Look through all the pages of history and ask the noblest men and women who still seem to live this question. Who loves Christ? And at once, up from dark dungeons and cruel racks of torture, there rises their confession. We love him. We love him. And from the fiery stake, where they clap their hands with joy as they were being burned to death, the same answer comes. We love him. We love him. if you could walk through the miles of the catacombs of Rome, and if the holy dead whose dust lies there could suddenly wake up, they would all shout, "We love him!" The best and bravest of men, the noblest and purest of women, have all been in this glorious company. So surely, you are not ashamed to come forward and say, "Put my name down among them." Though I am the lowliest of them all, I wish that the "we" might include me and my children and my friends, that we might all be able to truthfully say, "We love him." Happy are those who enlist in such an army as this, which has inscribed on its banners this grand declaration, "We love him." Thirdly, if you do love the Lord, confess that fact, because your acknowledgement may influence others. If you do love the Lord, confess it, because your acknowledgement may influence others. It may be that some who do not yet love him will be constrained to do so when they hear you say, "We love him." Many a child has learned to love Christ through his parents' godly example, and many a stranger to true religion has been induced to yield his heart to Jesus by seeing the loving behavior of those who were Christ's disciples. So for the sake of this poor world, confess your love to your Lord. Perhaps you will never be a preacher, and you needn't wish to be one unless you are divinely called to that office. But you can at least confess Christ. And by that acknowledgement, and by living consistently with it, you may draw one or two to the Savior, in whose sight every soul is precious beyond value. Fourthly, you must publicly acknowledge your love for Christ, because it may be a great blessing to yourself to declare your love to Christ. You must publicly acknowledge your love to Christ, because it may be a great blessing to yourself to declare your love to Christ. I always look back with deep gratitude to the day when I was baptized. You know that we baptize no one except those who profess to have believed in our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is absolutely certain that we attribute no saving grace to baptism in water. Yet at the same time, we have proved again and again that there is a distinct blessing in the observance of the ordinance. It was so in my case. Up to that time, I was timid and fearful, and afraid to confess Christ. But after I went into the waters of baptism and was publicly baptized into his death, I lost all fear of man. And I think I can honestly say that I have never been ashamed to acknowledge my Lord from that day to this. That coming out boldly for Christ was like passing the point of no return or burning the boats. No retreat was possible after that, nor have I ever wanted to go back to the world from which I then came out. The world has had many a cruel word for me from that day to this, and there is no love lost between us. I am done with the world as the world is done with me. I am crucified to the world and the world to me. And you Christian people will find it good when you can also say, "We have come out of the world and we love Christ." Perhaps somebody says, "I would not be admitted into certain social classes of society if I were to confess Christ." Society? Who cares? In such society as this, my weary soul would rest. The man that dwells where Jesus is must be forever blessed. Be totally committed for Christ. Unfurl your colors. Never hide them, but nail them to the mast. And say to all who ridicule the saints, say to them, If you have any cruel or unkind words for the followers of Christ, pour them out on me. If you call us Bible-thumping hypocrites or whatever, say what you like about us. I am quite prepared to bear my share of your slander. I will even glory in it, if it must be so. But know this, you will hear it whether you like it or not. I love Christ. And among the people whose names are written down as lovers of the Lord, my name shall stand, unworthy as I am of such an honor. This is a fact which deserves acknowledgement. And I would rejoice if I could induce some of you who have never made that declaration to join yourselves openly with the people of God in our Lord's appointed way. Now, secondly, we will take the text in another way. And note that our love is an effect flowing from a cause. We love because he first loved us. Tonight, we will take our text in another way. And note that, secondly, our love is an effect flowing from a cause. We love because he first loved us. First, it is not the result of effort. It is not the result of effort. We do not love God because we tried to do so. True love cannot come in that way. You may say, I intend to think, and you may succeed in doing it, but you cannot act like that with regard to love. No, love is not a slave to be at any man's beck and call. It is a master. And when even the lowest form of love comes on a man, it carries him away wherever it will. So this highest type of human love, our love to God, overpowers us. It is never the result of effort on our part. Did you ever hear a mother say, I will try to love my child? I don't know how she would go about it to bring such a state of things as that. Oh no, she loves her child naturally. She cannot help loving her own offspring. I never tried to love my sons. I cannot help loving them. My love to them is not the effect of any effort on my part. It is as free as the dew that drops from heaven. We may not know how it comes, but we know that we have not made it ourselves. Secondly, love to God is not produced in any heart as a matter of duty. Love to God is not produced in any heart as a matter of duty. We love God not because we felt that we ought to love him, but because he first loved us. A sense of duty is a very proper thing concerning many matters, and I don't deny that it is our duty to love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. For this is the very essence of the law of the Lord. But no one ever does love as a mere matter of duty. You love even an earthly object because you cannot help yourself. And you love God because he is infinitely lovely, and because he has so completely won over your heart as to engross your whole affection. Because he first loved us, and that love of his has been poured out in our hearts, we have loved him in return as a matter of course. We could not help doing so. The mighty depths of his immeasurable love, high up on the eternal hills, flow down into the inmost recesses of our empty hearts. And when afterwards a fountain of love is seen springing up out of them, the secret of its action is to be traced to that great reservoir way up on the everlasting hills. So our love to God is not the result of effort, nor does it arise out of a sense of duty. Thirdly, our love to God comes by knowledge and faith. Our love to God comes by knowledge and faith. As John says, we know and rely on the love that God has for us. We have been informed by a revelation in the Bible, which we accept as infallible, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We have believed in him, that is, we have trusted him. We know, therefore, that we shall not perish, but that we have eternal life. And now we love God for having bestowed on us the priceless gift of his dear Son to redeem us from death and destruction. Further, the cause of our love to God abundantly justifies it. The cause of our love to God abundantly justifies it. People say that love is blind. But in this case, the eyes of love are wide open and far-seeing. Love can look the Savior in the face and point to his beauties, which fully justifies all its admiration of him and devotion to him. We read the story of Christ, of his unique life in the human flesh, and his sacrificial death for our sins, and we say that if we do not love him, we would be the most ungrateful of all men. As he has laid down his life for us, and as he still lives to carry on the work of our salvation, as he has loved us from before the creation of the world, and will love us when this world is passed away, we must love him. It is wasting words to argue over this matter. There is, in the natural and proper order of things, an absolute necessity that such a love as Christ is should have the supreme affection of our hearts in return. We also feel that because he first loved us is such a cause that it is capable of producing a far larger result than we have ever yet experienced. We also feel that because he first loved us is such a cause that is capable of producing a far larger result than we have ever yet experienced. Because he first loved us, we expect to love him much more than we do at present. And we believe that if we loved him so much that men call us fanatics, we would be perfectly justified. And that if our heart was completely taken up with him, if we lived for nothing else but to serve Christ, if our every breath and pulse was devoted to Christ, if we laid down our lives for Christ, yes, if we had 10,000 lives and laid them all down for Christ, we think that such love as that which he spontaneously showed to us when we were his enemies would perfectly justify us for doing all that, and 10,000 times more if it were possible. So you see, my dear brothers and sisters, that our love to the Lord Jesus Christ is an effect produced by a great cause, namely his eternal love to us. Oh, if you really believe that he has loved you so, sit down and turn the subject over in your mind and say to yourself, Jesus loves me. Jesus chose me. Jesus redeemed me. Jesus called me. Jesus has pardoned me. Jesus has taken me into union with himself. Jesus has made me to be a part of the bride, the Lamb's wife. I shall be one with him forever. He will put a crown on my head, and I shall sit with him on his throne. And this may happen within a week. Perhaps I shall spend next Sunday seeing him face to face. With such a hope as this, you must love him, must you not? Can your heart resist his charms? Hard is the heart that does not feel some sweet affection move within whenever the love of Christ is proclaimed. Yet we must not try to make ourselves love our Lord, but simply look to Christ's love first, for his love to us will create in us love to him. I know that some of you are greatly distressed because you cannot love Christ as much as you would like to do, and you keep on fretting because it is so. Now just forget your own love to Him and think of His great love to you, and then immediately your love will come to something more like that which you would desire it to be. But now thirdly tonight, and I must speak briefly on each point, our love is a simplicity founded upon a mystery. Our love is a simplicity founded upon a mystery. We love. That is simple enough. Because He first loved us. Ah, there is a great mystery which none of us can fully understand. I say that our love to Christ is a very simple kind of love. And I want you to keep it that way. Because some people treat it metaphysically. That is, in an abstract manner. Now, what is love? Will somebody give us a clear definition of it? Now, will somebody else give another? By the time we have 200 or 300 definitions of love and put them all together, it is very probable that we shall have lost all idea of what love really is. It is delight. It is contentment. It is longing for association. It is, well, you know what it is, don't you? For if you don't, I can't tell you what it is. We get into the region of metaphysics when we begin to talk about love, and there we lose ourselves. And I have known people try to describe what love to Christ is, and very soon they have gone down into that sea. They could not explain it, for it is not easy to explain. Sometimes I meet with persons struggling with this. One says to me, I have read that I should love Christ with an unbiased love, not with the hope of gaining anything, not seeking a reward, and so on, teaching us that we should love Christ simply for His own sake. I say to them, yes, I know of this teaching, and that many holy men have thought that they kept to that, and I dare say they have. But I also know that love may be perfectly genuine and yet be as far as possible from being unbiased. For instance, do you doubt the reality of the love of that little baby to its mother? No. If there is love anywhere, it is in that tiny child towards its parent. But is that love unbiased? Certainly not. Isn't the love of dear children to their father and mother true love and very sweet love too? Of course it is, and we delight in it. But is it unbiased? No. They love us because for years they have received kindness from us, and they expect we shall treat them in the same fashion in the future. And I think that you and I will never be able to talk about being unbiased in our love to God when the very breath that we breathe is His gift. His daily mercy supplies us with food, and we are clothed and cared for by His love. We are debtors, so deeply drowned in obligation to Him, that we must stop talking about being unbiased. Why, we are always receiving something or other from our God, and so we shall until the day we die. We are beggars at the beautiful gate of the temple, receiving daily alms from Christ. And inasmuch as John, who was perhaps the noblest of all the saints, only got so far as to say, we love because He first loved us, I would be quite satisfied if I can get as far as John did. And if you cannot say anything more than that, you may be very content if you can join with John and the rest of the disciples of Christ in saying, we love because He first loved us. Don't trouble yourselves about the metaphysical distinctions which some may try to draw. If you love Christ, it is a simple thing, though you may not be able to explain it to others or even to yourself. Further, you must not always expect to display that love to the same extent. You must not always expect to display that love to the same extent. We are sometimes very foolish about the matter. You have an intense affection for your child, but you are busy all day long in your shop or your warehouse. And perhaps throughout the whole day, not one thought of your boy has crossed your mind. Does anybody say that you do not love him? No. Your love was just as true as ever, but there were other things that claimed your attention. Possibly you are away on a long trip, and one evening as you are sitting down to rest, there comes a letter from your child. And as you read it, you say, "Bless his little heart. I wish I had him on my knee at this moment." Something has come, you see, to awaken the love that was there all the while. For true love in our heart is often like the pheasant in the field. When someone comes near, up they go. Yes, but they were there before. They would not have flown up if they had not been under cover. So, often do the graces of Christians hide themselves away for a time till the occasion for their display arises. And then, up they start. But they would not have started up if they had not been there. We were singing a few minutes ago, "If I ever love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." Well, if you meant it then, you will still love him tomorrow, when your hands are busily occupied at your job, or your brain is counting up the long rows of figures which make your eyes ache, or you have to wait upon so many customers that you get utterly fatigued. You may not be always able to be thinking about divine subjects, but if your heart is right, your love to your Lord is there all the while. We cannot always tell during the day where the crows live, for they fly all over the fields. But at night, we see which way they go as they fly to where their nests are. Likewise, your thoughts fly here and there during the day. But when you get home, they come back to your blessed Lord and Master. That is where the home of your heart is, for when it gets the opportunity, when it is let go, as the apostles were, it goes to its own company. So may it always be with you, beloved. But our love to Christ, though it is in itself a simple thing, is based on a great mystery. Our love to Christ, though it is in itself a very simple thing, is based upon a great mystery. The mystery is that he should ever have loved us at all. Can anybody tell us how it was that Christ ever began to love us? I sometimes imagine that I could explain why Christ loved some of you, but I cannot conceive why he ever loved me. That is a matter which I must leave until I see him. But I suppose it was because he just wanted to do so, because he determined it by his own sovereign will. Certainly I cannot conceive of any other reason. And if any of you ever think that you were saved because you were better than other people, or that you owe being selected for salvation because of your own free will, well, I am glad if there are any such good people about. But I know that it was not so with me. And I think that most of God's people will also say, "No, no, no, no." If there is any difference between us and others, it is the grace of God that has made it. So let him have all the glory of it. There is a difference between some of us and others whom we know. And whoever made it happen ought to have the crown for it. If you made your own salvation happen yourself, then you can claim the crown. But I know that you will not do that if you really are a lover of the Lord, but that you will cry out with us, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness." So I conclude that we are all in agreement that the difference between us and our former selves and our old companions is one which sovereign grace has made, and that is the great mystery, although our love in return for it is a simple fact. I now come to our last point for this evening, and I can only give you a few sentences on it, which is this. Our love is a force sustained by a higher force. Our love is a force sustained by a higher force. Our love is a force. If you truly love God, you will feel it deep within you. It is a force that comforts and encourages us. It is a force that comforts and encourages us. Out of love to God, we feel that we can even dare the devil to do his worst against us. When love fills us up completely, it makes us courageous. Love to God also constrains us. Love to God also constrains us. With the Apostle Paul, we say, Christ's love compels us. Because of this love, we often do things which we would never have chosen to do on our own. And we leave undone the things we once wanted to do. Love is as strong as death. And when it once gets full possession of a person, it will completely carry them away. And love to God is indeed a mighty force, of which perhaps we have not any of us proved the full power as of yet. But it is a force which is kept by a higher force, namely the love of God to us. Our love for God is a force which is kept up by a higher force, namely the love of God to us. What a force that is! Who can ever estimate its power? The love of God to men was so strong that when death and hell struggled against it, they were driven away like the chaff before the wind. All our sins stood like a mighty mountain, barring our way to God, but His love leveled every hill and made a clear path by which we might approach His mercy seat. The love of God to His people is omnipotent. There is no force in nature that can for a single moment be compared with it. It is irresistible, for the love of God conquered God Himself and brought Him down to earth in human form. First in our mortal flesh to serve, then in that flesh to die. Found guilty of an excess of love, our Savior was put to death that He might redeem us. He could lose His life for us, but He could not lose His love to us. Oh, mighty force! Then don't you see, my brothers and sisters, if there is such a force as this to draw upon, that the love of God, when it is poured out into our hearts, can give our love a greater force than it ever had? With that greater force, there can be put into our lives an energy which we have never known. It is possible for us to rise to something far higher than we ever have in our past. We can do something more than we have ever dreamed of doing. And God can use us to perform nobler deeds of self-denial, to rise to greater heights of daring, and to stoop to deeper depths of humiliation than we have ever done before. O strong Son of God, nothing could stop your immortal love. Neither pain nor grief nor bloody sweat nor death itself could stop you. And by your sacred passion, we implore you to let your love drop into our souls till we too shall become strong, like yourself, according to our measure, and shall be able to contend for you, to suffer for you, to live for you, and to die for you, all the while giving this as the explanation of it all. We love because He first loved us. God bless you, beloved. For Christ's sake, amen.
Look, Durham, I don't have an old church here, and I don't have a tambourine even. I don't have an old building, so I had to bring it along with me. Jake, start rolling now. I'll have my mansion now. like that breakdown. I like that right there. Can I do it again, Dad? I want to do it again, Dad. One more time.
Come on!
need God to do something tonight. You can't wait till tomorrow. You need it tonight. But you got to prophesy, declare it, baby. Say this. I hear you.
Charles Spurgeon and his secrets. Woo, and loving God. I tell you, I thank God for his word this morning. I thank God for the message today, because we need to love. And if we look further down in that book of First John, the fourth chapter, I'm sorry. And we look on down in that verse, you'll get to see him talk about loving one another. There are many things he's explaining here that the believer, the Christian, the saints of God, the people of God, we should know. First John, the fourth chapter, and he come from verse 19. And in verse 19, it said again, we love him. We love him because he first loved us. We must learn to love God. See, when we learn to love, for God is love, we'll know how to love one another. Because when it go on down to verse 20, it says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. But he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Yeah, it talks about the secret of loving God, but it also talks about us loving one another. Yeah, if we look back up, I think it's around the eighth verse somewhere. Well, he said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's 1 John, the fourth chapter and the eighth verse. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this is what we walk in. Love covers a multitude of sin, but also love is straight up and down. Love is not going to see you in error and keep its mouth closed. Talking about I might hurt them. Nope. Love will cause you to share what will make the other person better. And sometimes you have to say, ouch. But if we receive the love, the truth, it's going to make us better. Oh, yeah. And we will be all right. I'm a little tired today. I really do feel like I could sleep all day today. But I have work to get done, and I have to go out to the post office. Sister Simone, they put the card in my box the other day, but when I got that, it was closed, and I didn't go out yesterday because it was so cold for me and my knee. But I'm going to try to get out today if possible. If not, I get out tomorrow because they're holding it for me. And I'll just run to the post office and pick it up. Plus, I have Pen Pal Prison Ministry letters to mail. So I get all of that hopefully done today or tomorrow. Sister Jerry, I need you to check your message over on Facebook and give me an answer. Excuse me. so I will know if it's time to advertise here or not, because I'd like for everyone to know and for us to be praying for you and praying for special need children. And I don't know where I get it from, but I just call it what you said, God's little angels. And so let me know if you would like for me to advertise that this morning. I would be more than happy to do it. Hallelujah. I have a 9-minute testimony I'd like to share this morning. So I'm going in with this one, and we can take a listen. I know some people may be sleeping or whatever, but wake up, wake up. Let's take a listen this morning. Oh, did I shut it off?
They have the cars, they have the girls, they have the gold chains, and they have the money. I'm like, that's what I want.
Remy Adeleke was born to a wealthy Nigerian entrepreneur and his American wife. Up to the age of 5, Remy lived in the lap of luxury. But when his father died unexpectedly, his mom moved Remy and his older brother to the Bronx and a life of poverty. But money wasn't the only thing he missed.
For me to not have a father to affirm me, to guide me, and provide for me and my brother, I began to search out father figures.
His mom was a Christian who took them to church and taught them to follow Jesus. Instead, Remy looked to street hustlers and rappers as his role models and his way out of poverty.
I just wanted my life and my brother's life, my mother's life to be better than it was.
As a young teen, he went from petty theft to selling drugs. During this time, he also saw 2 films by director Michael Bay that showed him he could aspire to something better.
The first one was Bad Boys, and the second one was The Rock, because that was the first time I saw 2 African-American men in Bad Boys who looked like me, but they were still cool, and they were heroes. After I watched The Rock, you know, I filed away deep down within me this idea that I would be a Navy SEAL one day.
But for a teenage dealer and scam artist making thousands, that dream seemed far out of reach.
The chance of that happening is absolutely slim to none, right? And as time passed, that idea faded away.
That is, until a drug dealer came into their home, threatening to kill Remy. Remy paid him off, but it was the wake-up call he needed.
All of these years, I'm doing this dirt, and not only did I bring this dirt into my life, but I brought it to my mom's doorstep. I made the decision I'm getting out of this life.
Hi, we are Woodruff.
But now 19, Remy had no idea what to do next. Until one morning in bed, he heard a voice he didn't recognize.
And his voice said to me, you need to join the military. And I was like, what? Heck no, I'm not joining the military. Absolutely not. And I popped up and I looked around and I said to myself, Remy, what else do you have?
Remy joined the Navy and signed up to be a Navy SEAL. He passed the grueling training and earned his trident.
Especially coming from the background I came from and now achieving what I achieved and graduating from SEAL training, probably the most elite military program on the face of this planet, I was just very, very prideful, especially because I had achieved greatness.
But Remy still had an emptiness that needed to be filled.
I was in the clubs every weekend, sleeping around, partying. You know, I was vulgar, combative. I was out of control. And I had a girlfriend at the time. You know, I cheated on her. I mean, I was just a bad dude towards her. And she wouldn't leave me. She stayed with me. And she would take me to church.
During their relationship, Remy's team was sent to the Alaska wilderness for cold weather survival training. Alone on a hike, he again heard a voice. But this time, he knew who it was.
I remember just walking through the wilderness and just mesmerized by the nature, the beauty, the silence. But in the midst of that silence, God began to reveal himself to me. God showed me what I had become. And I just remember feeling disgusted with what I saw. I decided, you know what, I'm going to fix myself. I'm going to change myself.
Once back on base, he called his girlfriend.
I just want you to know that when I get back, I want to marry you. I'm going to be a better man. I'm working on myself to change myself, but I'm going to be better. And she said, I'm leaving. It's over. I fell into a deep depression. And I remember my brother told me, when you hit rock bottom, because it's going to happen, cry out to Jesus. When you've tried everything and nothing's worked, cry out to finally said, Jesus, I need your help.
But he was still reeling from the breakup and called his ex when he got home.
Because in my naive, crazy mind, I felt like the answer to fixing my problems was her taking me back. I said, please take me back. She said, no, I won't take it back. And I said, okay, if you won't take me back, can you at least take me to church? And then she paused, and then she said, okay, I won't take you back, but I'll take you to church. I just got up, and I said, I need something greater than me. And if this Jesus is greater than me, and if he's real, then that's going to be my solution. And so I went to altar, and I surrendered my life to Jesus. Instantaneously, like, my life changed.
Over the next 3 months, Remy let his Heavenly Father bring healing to his mind and soul.
His presence was so tangible to me that I looked to him. This is my father teaching me how to treat women. This is my father teaching me how to be a man now and what real manhood is.
In 2016, Remy left the military and started a consulting business. One day, he got an unusual call. They were filming a new Transformers movie and needed someone with his expertise for a small role. The director was Michael Bay.
I was like, wow, this is crazy, because this is the guy whose first two films inspired me to be SEAL.
Today, Remy is still in the film industry as an actor and screenwriter, and he's enjoying his greatest role yet as a husband to his wife Jessica and father to three sons. In his book, Transformed, he shares how God has guided his life even when he didn't realize it.
I can go to my Heavenly Father to get direction, whether it's through prayer, through fellowship, or through the scriptures, you know. I have a Father.
No, I think when all of us are growing up, we're looking for someone to be the father, the mother, to give us direction, to explain what life is all about. Some people have that, and some people don't. But when it's missing and we are left to our own devices, we make so many wrong choices. And we find ourselves in compromised situations. And yet, in almost every story I hear, it's the still small voice of God is coming from this side or from this side, in a little way here, a little way there, even though we might not be willing to listen to it or recognize it initially. It makes impact, and then that moment comes that Remy's brother said comes to everybody, when you come to the end of yourself. You know, there's something in us, I think, that makes us feel like, I can fix this. I can get better. I can do this. I can eliminate that. But we don't. I mean, if we could get it together on our own, wouldn't the world look like a different place today? We cannot. We are a mess without God, because we were created to have relationship with him. And so left to our own devices, directionless, we just spin out of control like Remy said he did. And then in a moment in time, God begins to reveal himself to us and he speaks to our hearts. And you know, I love the fact that Remy went to the altar and he committed what he knew belonged to God, his life. But he didn't have it all together yet. You know what he did after that? He went to the Word. He started finding out, who is God? Who are you, Jesus? Why am I giving my life to you? And how do I connect with you so I can live the way you created me to? You know, the Bible says that's available to anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. The surrender is the beginning, but the process that follows is what changes us. And so today, if you're looking for direction and focus in your life and you haven't found it, come to Christ. It's the whole reason he came, for you, for your life, for your need. Get into the Word of God. If you want to pray with someone today, there's always someone on our phone line. It's toll-free, 1-800-700-7000. You can call right now.
Hello, I'm Gordon Robertson. Thanks for watching the video. Be sure to like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell for more encouraging videos like...
I just wanted to share that little testimony there this morning of the Navy SEAL. Went from bad boy to better. And God have a purpose and a plan for our lives. And many times we don't know what that is, and we don't know to seek him. Because if we seek, we're going to find. If we knock, the door is coming open. If we ask, it'll be given unto us. So many times we don't know. And so we seek other things. We seek money, you know, how to make easy, quick, fast money. Been there, done that. We seek fleshly things to be pleased, sexual desires and all of these things. We'll begin to seek because we haven't come to the conclusion yet that we need a risen Savior. We need Almighty God who have all the power. We need a God who's going to be on our side in spite of us. And so once we get there, then we're good to go. But unless he draw us, we can't come. And many times somebody is praying for us, and this is how we come to him too. Yeah, he go on and draw us unto him because somebody's lifting him so that he can draw us. Hallelujah. And so we thank God this morning. And I'm a little tired, y'all. I got to be honest and very, very sleepy today. And I'm going to get some. I'm going to get some. But I just didn't want to not come in and obey God today. I wanted to be a blessing to as many as possible. And I want to do what he chose me for. And if I wouldn't have come, it's not like God would destroy me. But I press my way to show the Lord at any cost I want to be obedient unto you. Hallelujah. God is faithful unto me, and I want to be faithful unto him. Hallelujah. All right, Miss Jelly, hopefully you read my message over there. Good morning. God bless you this morning.
Good morning, Sister Barbara. Yes, ma'am, I read your message. I've been praying and praying and praying. I didn't say anything back because I've been praying and praying and praying, but I'll talk to you about that later. Oh, most gracious God, this morning I want to say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, I just want to give you the highest praise today. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. I just want to say thank you, God. Thank you that you give me strength. Thank you that you give me a mind to be stayed on thee. Thank you that I don't put nothing or no one before you, God. I just want to say hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Thank you this morning. Thank you that you gave me a touch to wake me up in the morning, a touch that who the Son has set free. Woo, Jesus, I'm free indeed. I am free from aggravation. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. I'm free from the frustration. Woo, Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you that all I need is you, Lord God. Oh, Father, don't walk away from me. I don't care. People can walk away, but, Lord, keep me near you, Lord God. Don't leave me, Jesus. Don't leave me, God. Don't leave me. And if I try to leave you, Lord, remind me where you bought me from. You bought me out of gutters. You brought me out of sin. You brought me out the streets. You brought me out of Hooker's Lane. Woo! Thank you, Jesus, for taking me out of Hooker's Lane. Jesus, 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 you're the one. You're the one, Lord God. I don't want no one but you, Lord God, because I believe. Oh, yes, I believe, Lord God. I thank you that you give me two children. They were special need. I call them special need, but when they were little, you said, Jerry, they're not special need. They're my little angels. That's where that came from, my little angels. We all are God little angels, and he said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You don't bother those little angels. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that I don't need someone to aggravate, to frustrate me. I had a man here in my life for 43 years. Woo, Jesus. He loved me, but he didn't love me like the church. He didn't love me like you love me, Jesus. I don't need it. I don't want it. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you give me a strength. You give me a right mind. Lord God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you that I won't put myself under the bus and let trucks and cars run over me. Thank you that I don't want to walk around and don't know my value. Because if I don't know my value, I don't have a mind. I don't have a mind. I don't mind. And you wake me up in my right mind. Oh, yes, Lord, keep my mind on thee so I won't go astray. Lord, teach a child as you have them to go. Oh, Lord, yes, God, my mother tried to teach me. But, Lord, no one taught me the way you taught me. You let me go into places that I almost got killed, but you never let me go to the bottom of the pit. You let me go. Yes, Lord, you let me run, run, Jerry, run. Go to Miss Tilly's office. Run, Jerry, run. Go hang out with the drug addicts. Run, Jerry, run. Run, Jerry, run, run, run. But you didn't put me in the bottom of the pit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You knew what I could handle. And you don't give me no more than I can handle. So I want to say thank you, God. I don't know. Yes, it's cold. Yes, it's sleepy time. But you say, wake up, wake up. I'm here for you. Wake up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm giving you the highest praise this morning because I know for a fact there's someone that can't open their eyes. My husband can't open his eyes no more. I close my eyes and I see his little eyes blue as shit. And I know if he could, he would want to open his eyes and come in here and say, Jardine, oh God, Jardine. I sometimes miss that. But God, you have brought me through. You brought me through you touched a wretch like me. You hung on a cross for someone that, ooh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I might not can get around the way I want to get around, but God, I get around just fine. I might not can do the things I used to could do, but God, I'm doing just fine. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I want to be serious today, God. I don't have no jokes today. All I got is a praise. Praise ye the Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. I just been laying here reading and thanking you, God. Thank yes, you. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I read your note, and I got a praise all over my body. Thank you, God. Because I know, I know, I know, I know. Thank you, God. Thank you for keeping me near and dear. Thank you that there are people getting shot and killed all around me, but no one coming to my door. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for covering me. It's not the alarm that's keeping people out of this house, because I've seen people with more security than I got. Doors getting kicked down and shot up. So thank you, God. Thank you that I'm not so violent that I'm killing my own child. Oh, Lord, thank you. Yes, I know our tempers get bad. But thank you, God, that you let me go so far and then you pull me back and set me down and say, come here, Jerry. Come here. Your mama couldn't stop you, but I'm going to stop you because I know the plans that I have for your life. Hallelujah. I just want to say, weeping may endure for a night. Thank you, David. The song of David. Weeping may endure for a night, but all joy comes in the morning. Oh, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and he will direct your path. The reason we go in the wrong way is because we won't allow God to direct us on which way we should go. We study hard-headed, hard-headed, hard-headed. But, Lord, I give myself to you. I won't speak. I won't talk. There might be days the show come on, and I won't press the number one because if God don't say it, but he told me to give him praise today. Things ain't going my way, I promise you. Father, it's not going my way. Things I'm steady getting a no every time I ask for something. No, no, Miss Crowell, no, Miss Crowell, no. But every time I know the no means God's got a yes behind the door. There's a yes coming, and the yes going to be bigger than that no. So I thank you, God. I won't give up because I believe. Because I've been down the road when I tried to go left. God still let me go left, but he yanked me out the car and threw me in the bushes when everybody else went on to jail. Whoa, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. It ain't that I'm so pretty or I'm so this or I'm so that. I am nothing but a filthy cloth. I am just a filthy, raggedy cloth, God. Oh, Jesus. But you love me so much that I must listen. When people tell me the things to do, I must listen. Because if I'm with the person you hooked me to as a mentor, I must listen to the vessel that you put me. I can't go on a boat and go try to get on another direction because I'm going to fall into the belly of the whale. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to do nothing, but if you tell me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. No, I'm not asleep. I am just basking and loving on the Lord, God. I won't allow the cold weather to stop me from being with Jesus. Barbara, you might be dragging, but baby, you put the right music on and you set my atmosphere good. So I thank you. I know the pain is racking in your body and you're tired. But we can't give up. We come too far. Oh, as Brian Card says, we don't look like what we've been through. You've been through a lot, woman of God. You lift them big bags of potatoes. They gave me 8 pounds the other day, and I almost dropped them. I couldn't even pick up the potatoes. Ooh. Think I'm going to jail, and they're giving me 50 pounds. I'm already back down in the hole because I can't even pick up I can't pick up 8 pounds of potatoes. I had 4 of those big potatoes I picked up, and I kept dropping. I'm like, God, these things heavy. That's not what God has for me. And what people say what God has for me is for me, that's exactly what God has for me is for me. What he has for you, Barbara, is for you. I can't do the prison ministry. But, girl, you're good. You're firm. You are going to help me when people come to me with their sad stories. And I go, oh, well, take my last baby here. Wait a minute, Jerry. Wait a minute. Oh, you got the firm voice that I needed. My mother was firm with me. But she was a nice firm. Come here, Jerry. I want you to stop. But if I had a Barbara mother, it would have been, wait a minute, Miss Jerry. You come on over here, young lady, Miss Robin Mike. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. That's all I got to say today is hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. I give you the highest praise this morning. Somebody didn't get up. Somebody don't know their name. Somebody's sitting around wondering where they're at. But you woke me up in my right mind. I know my name. And I know your voice, Lord God, because you told me my sheep know my voice. Hallelujah. And you know my name. You know my name. Hallelujah. Oh, how you talk to me. Thank you, Jesus. And you tell me that I'm your own. Man, I tell me I'm his own. But he'll walk away from me, get in his car and call Sally Jane down the street. Thank you, God. But when you tell me that I am your own, I don't have to worry about that because you don't just tell me, you show me. Love is an action. You prove it to me. Oh, God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I raised a lot of children. Well, maybe not a lot, three boys. I raised a lot of God children. But God, out of everything and every one of them I raised, not one can come and cut my grass. But let them get in a little bit of trouble. They'll tell me, Mom, I need $30, like they go into the ATM. Not one can come and say, Mama, do you need me? Pick up your medicine from the pharmacy. But when they're in trouble, Mama, I'm in jail. Not one can come and say, Mama, how you feeling this morning? But they'll call me. I'm just checking to see what's going on. Then I get happy. But this is what's going on with me. You didn't call to see what's going on with me. You called for me to tell me what's going on with you. But I learned something here sitting in this quiet time. God said, take all your burdens unto me. So they don't need to call and tell me what they got going on. Father, I stretch my hands to thee, for you the only help I know. Lord God, please don't withdraw your hands from me. Keep me near you. Keep me there, Lord God. For I know not which way to go. But I want to follow you, Jesus, because I know you will. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to take up too much of the radio show time, but thank you, God. I know somebody else probably want to come in, because who would not want to just come in and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, all you got to say is good morning, God. Because he said already good morning to you, because he woke you up. He touched you. He woke you up. That alarm clock didn't do it. You know how I know? Yesterday, I was sleeping so hard. My phone was right here laying next to me. It was ringing off the hook. I didn't even hear it. Next thing I know, my brother was opening my door, shaking me. I said, whoa, what you doing in my house? He said, Jerry, I've been calling and calling and calling you. I was scared something was wrong. And the phone right there, I said, oh, I'm sorry. I was so asleep. I didn't hear it. See, so God stop you from hearing so your alarm clock won't do you no good. Never get it mixed up that you getting up by yourself. Don't get it twisted that you going to that job, because I know I was at the job for 37 years and they came in there one day and say, this job is over. Put nothing before the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good. He won't leave you high and dry, because when my unemployment gave out, he gave me disability the next week, so I never missed a beat from having anything I needed. If I can't say but one thing, God takes good care of me. And he don't want or allow me to want for anything. He don't put stress on me. And he never walks away. So, Lord, keep me near you. And I want you, somebody out there that really needs you, God. They need to know. There's a man that thinks he needs this. He don't need her. There's a woman that thinks she needs him. She don't need him. All I need is a touch from you, Lord. Put ye the Lord first, and all will be added unto you. I promise you. I know it. I know this to be true. Barbara, thank you for allowing me to come in this morning just to give God hallelujah. A hallelujah praise. Thank you. Thank you. And I'll talk at you later. Okay, Barbara?
Amen. God bless you, Sister Jerry. God bless you this morning. I know that feeling some days to look back and see where the Lord has brought us from.
and look back and realize what God has done for us. Yeah. And to think about different things, because many times it's on us, you know, we're not feeling it. We're not, you know, feeling what we normally should feel. And many times the enemy come in telling us things, you know, the flesh want to jump up in place. But we have to come under subjection and bring that flesh under subjection. And the best way is to begin to praise God. Yeah, begin to thank back and tell him thank you for where you brought me from. But Louis said, hey, Sister Jerry. And so we're moving
good
on.
Good morning, Brother Louis. Good morning. I didn't do roll call. Good morning, Brother Frank, Brother Louis. Oh, Brother Anthony, you sent me off this week with that praise and in that heavenly language. Hallelujah. Ooh, it is still resonating in my body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Good morning, Sister Rita. Lord, Rita, don't think I'm just saying it, but I pray for you every night. I'm praying for you, Rita. Sister Dodd and Sister Sion. You women, y'all just, Sister Dot, you all are special people to me. I love all of you. I love everybody on the show. Thank you, God, that everybody got a dark secret, but you have not exposed me to the world. And you have not given me what I deserved. So I can't say God ain't doing this one. You have not given me what I deserved. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Jesus, thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Bobby, just don't know how I'm feeling this morning. I'm just feeling so blessed.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Keep on saying it, Father, because let me tell you, the more you pray and praying and doing, that you're that lady that he ain't going to never let that meal barrel of yours go empty.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
He's
going to
get he's going to get your diabetes under control. He's going to get that weight off of you.
Thank
it's
you,
coming, Barbara. You're too good of a person that God is not going to allow you to have the goodness of the earth.
Mm-mm. That's what I have.
Thank you for being in my life.
Yeah, Lord. Here I have the goodness of the Lord. I eat the good of the land. And there ain't no problem, I promise you, with diabetes. God is faithful. But I have to remember I have to remember what he said. Now, he healed me. And if I go back eating the crazy stuff, I'll be right back. But he healed me, and I got to stay away from what I'm supposed to. But I'm here again with the stripes. I'm already healed in the name of Jesus. So we thank God this morning. And I'm going to this one, Jerry. Go ahead and praise him today. He's so worthy. He's so worthy. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Woo.
Thank you.
I just want to pray
forever. Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessings, glory, and honor. They all belong to you. We want to say thank you for all you've done for us, for blessing us. We give you glory, honor, and praise, Father, for another Wednesday, for another December the 1st. Hallelujah. Into this new year of 2021, we're grateful unto him. Hallelujah. All right, Brother Anthony, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning, sir. God bless you. How are you?
Bless, highly favored. Good morning to you, Miss Barbara Matt. Good morning to everybody. First of all, I just want to give God thanks, first of all, for thanking for life, health, and strength, keeping my right mind, allowing me to see another day. Thank you for the activity of my limbs. I thank him for who he is to me, what he's doing in me, where he brought me from, where he's taking me at. And I thank God for who he is to everybody that's on this line and all the men and women of God that is seeking God and God is drawn to him. You know, we just thank God again for fellowship and being able to come together. Thank God for the love between us and the love that God has for us and the love that we should have for God. We just give God all the glory, honor, and praise. I give him all the glory, honor, and praise. And I want to say good morning to you, Miss Barbara. Good morning to your Brother Louis, Sister Jerry, Sister Rita. Say good morning to Sister Fionn, Sister Salmon, Sister Sister Rose Brown. Good morning to Sister Alexis, Sister Michelle Puka. Good morning to you. Good morning to Anna Leafoot and Anderson Leafoot. Good morning to you, y'all, this morning. Say good morning to Brother Jermaine, Brother D, Brother Mike Perry. Good morning to you this morning. Good morning to Brother Jermaine. Say good morning to Brother Griffin. Good morning to you. Good morning to Mike Hawks, Brother Kim Hawks. Good morning to Miss Shante. Good morning to you. I've been forgetting you. Good morning to and I forgot to throw them off, but anyway, God bless everybody. And I just thank God and I just ask God to move and continue to move in your life, Miss Barbara, and heal you in every area that you need healing in, give you strength, and bless you and pour back into you what you pour out, being faithful to his plan and calling on your life. And as you pour out onto us, it's your sheep that God will pour back into you as his sheep to you doing his will. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. This is Dr. Goodman and Sister Rita say good morning, Brother Anthony, and Brother Louis says good morning to you. And we thank
good morning.
God. Yeah, we thank him today for he's again today the author and finisher of our faith. And there's none like him. We search all over. We won't find nobody. Nobody greater than him. And just tell him thank you today. And he's fixing whatever we need fixed this morning.
Amen.
He's taking care of it. And we're not going to not have it. Yeah, God have a mighty sweet way. And he have a way of fixing things. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. And we just trust him and keep going. I want to say this today. Those who have not painted by numbers, I want y'all to try that. It's a beautiful experience. So confident. And I tell you, if you're trying to even get over a habit of doing something, painting by numbers is a way that help you to get over that habit. Because once you begin to do it and you begin to enjoy it, once you see how your paintings, your pictures come out, beautiful, beautiful, and it's easy to do, you'll get on here and you'll look up and an hour will be gone, 2 hours
are gone because you've been painting. And you keep going because you see the picture coming together. Yeah. And so try painting by numbers. And there's a number of different ones. I do several. And I want to go over here and take a look right now and give you some names. I do paint color. I do color therapy. I do color swipes, super color, hay color, paint by numbers, and another one called happy colors. Happy colors, paint by numbers, super colors, color swipes, hay color, paint color, color therapy. It's many. And I've done some beautiful African-American women and men, and I've done all kind of stuff, flowers and fruits and foods and living rooms and office and dining rooms, all kind of stuff I painted. And with just a touch of my finger, touch, and tell you which numbers to go to. And when you tap on that number, it'll give you that color, and you follow the number. And Okay. All right. Sister Rita says she's screaming it from the rooftop. Good morning, Brother Afton. And let me if I can get that one up for you right quick. Okay, wait a minute. What's the name? Okay. I think I can pull this one up right quick. I just got to go in here and do it right fast. Let's see if I can get this from here. Tasha. Okay, I think I found it. All right. Let me know if this is it, Brother Anthony. Blessings and glory.
With Kroger's delivery savings plan, you get free delivery on all your fresh favorites. Here's a terrible way to lose weight and get in shape. Give up all the foods that you actually like to eat and instead force your...
Let's see it. Okay. Hold this blessing everybody's soul right here. Come on.
Wanna put a smile on your face every tonight. That's the people that say every tonight. And I love this part that you said. So here's my worship. Here's my Lord's smile. Come on. Here's my thank you.
More than just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Smiles by Tasha Cobb this morning. And we got to give everything to him, our life, everything, give it to God. He's able to work it out for us. And there's nothing too hard for him to do. Sister Dot says, good morning, Brother Anthony, good morning. And that's Tasha Cobb of Sister Dot. And I don't know if it was her or Sister Rita said good morning to Brother Louis. That might be Sion. Yeah. Good morning, Brother Anthony, Sister Jessica, and Brother Louis. Good morning to you. Good morning. That's Sister Sion sent the message. And we thank God. We thank God for his word today. Thank God for good gospel music. There's nothing like it. Hallelujah. And but after they tried to get the name together on that roll call, you're doing good. Oh, you're doing good. You got a lot covered, Brother Anthony. You have a lot of the names covered. And you might want to just slow down just a little bit. Slow down just a little bit. And you'll get Angela Foot and Anna Lee Foot right. Kim Hops and Mike Hops, right? Yeah, just slow down a little bit because you got it, Brother Anthony. Yeah, you really have it. Uh-huh. You've come a long way. So that's a good thing. So I'm going to do a little roll call to myself. Good morning, Sister Dorothy Goodman, Sister Mary Ann, and Sister Simone, and Sister Melanie Rose, Sister Angela in California, Sister Laura in Philadelphia. Mr. Mason and Miss Deborah, good morning to you, Alexis and Lachelle and Sister Andrea Spinner and Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion, Sister Diane, Sister Terry, Sister Angela Foot and Mama, Sister Anna Lee Foot. Good morning to you, Sister Kim Hopps, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, and our very own Apostle Claudia Boatwright. Hallelujah. Brother Anthony, now I'm reading them off a list. I can't even remember them like that. So I have to read my list, my roll call list. Thank God for each and every one of you ladies. And thank God for your sisters. Thank God for those that come through the archives and the podcast. We give you God glory. We give him honor and praise
for every listen. So thank you, thank you, thank you. For the newcomers, may the people been coming for years and I never met you. God bless you today. God bless you. Good morning to you, Brother Cal and Brother Justin Gilmore, Brother Frank, Brother Marquez Griffin, Brother Louis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Mike Hawks, Brother Mike in Orlando, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, and I think I said Brother Justin Gilmore, Brother Frank, and Brother Marquez Griffin this morning. God bless you, brothers. God bless you. Thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God yesterday Brother Perry came in and prayed that prayer. He had no clue what I needed. I had indigestion really, really bad yesterday. Prayed that prayer and I got better. Hallelujah. And so I'm good. I'm good. And Sister Rita, Brother Lewis, say, hey, Sister Rita. No, she's not in the hospital. She's not. That was Sister Nikki. That was Nikki. She was in the hospital. Yeah. But she's home now. She's home. So today, intercessors, I'm going to ask you to pray for Sister Andrea Ellis. Matter of fact, let's do that right now. Let's pray for her. And that way we won't forget like she did yesterday. Let's pray for her. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bring Sister Ellis before you, Andrea Ellis, God, in Wichita, Kansas. And Father, we ask that you would touch her body, God, touch her mind, heal her this morning from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. And Father, we know it's you that heal all manner of sickness and disease. And we believe in you right now for her healing. God, touch her sinuses and clear them up. Heal her, God, that you never come back again in the name of Jesus. And Father, bless her family. We ask that, Lord, you would move through a household, Lord, and touch and heal anything that's not like you. Father, we bind it up in the name of Jesus and cast it back to the pits of hell. And Father, we release your blessings and your miracles in her home in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask this morning that God, you would move in a mighty way for her. And Lord, give her a heart and mind to walk upright before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. Again, Father, bless her children. Yeah, bless her husband, God. And Lord, we ask that you would touch and heal Nikki. Heal her mind. Heal her heart today, oh God. Heal her body in the name of Jesus. Move by your spirit today, oh God, for your people. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I wanted to pray for her. She had some sinus problems and some other things going on, and she said she would call me back. But God is faithful to us, and we have not because we ask not. And so everything we need, we go to him, especially what we can't do. We can't heal, but he can. And so we're thankful unto him this morning. Is there anyone else have something they would like to say today? We have a little time. Feel free to press that number one and come in today. Hallelujah. All right, we'll go. Well, I tell you what, let's pray out. If no one else have anything to say, I will pray out this morning and go to the last song of the day. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And listen, testify Friday. It's this Friday, December the 3rd. Bring somebody with you to Jesus in the Morning and ask somebody, hey, you have a testimony unto the Lord? I want you to come with me and give your testimony. Because, see, we overcome by testimony in the blood of the Lamb. And you never know who testimony will move somebody. Yeah, we never know. And so I'm asking you on Friday to bring someone with you and ask them to come and testify if they will. Hallelujah. We thank God. We thank God. So we're going to pray and then go to our last song of the morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that any time we come before you, you will in no wise cast us out. You're never too busy to hear our hearts cry. You're never too busy to hear our petition, oh God. And we thank you this morning. We thank you. We thank you. We can't say thank you enough. And Father, we ask today in the name of Jesus, that Lord, you would bless us. Bless us in this holiday season. Help us to celebrate you. Father, it's not about the gifts and this and that, the food, the decorations, but it is about us celebrating you. But Father God, you gave us the greatest gift. You gave us your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, he come for us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And Father, we ask this morning as we depart that you would bless our going out, bless our coming in. And Lord, supply the need of our finances today. Lord, supply the need of those that need food and housing and clothes and whatever they stand in the need of bill paying, oh God. We ask that you would supply for all of us according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, money answereth all things. So we are asking you today to open a door for us, make a way for us financially in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. We ask it all again this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. December the 1st, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we're going to our last song of the morning. And after this song, we won't be coming back today. Hallelujah.
Dr. Blonde, Twinkie and I were in Little Rock, Arkansas with Bishop L.T. Walker. Early one morning, I got a call. I was in Atlanta preaching for Reverend Jasper Williams, and Gloria called me. She said, sit down. I said, I'm going to preach right now. I'm on my way out the door. She said, sit down. I sat down, and my wife told me, we were living in New Orleans at the time, four of our members had been killed in a wreck. I got angry with the Lord because I thought they were my best members. I had some others I thought he should have took. Y'all don't like the truth. These were some good members, Brother Sheard. I mean, solid people. I'm not talking about the tithe. I'm just talking about sweet, solid people. No hell-raising saints. And I couldn't understand, why would you take those four people at once? I put three people in one grave. I was upset with the Lord because I said, you took my members. And he said, clean, they're not yours, they're mine. I said, well, why did you take them? He said, I took them because they were ready. And I'm giving those others a chance to get right. So I called Twinkie. Her and Dr. Clark were over at Bishop Walker's house. I said, Twinkie, I wrote these words. See what you can do with this. Accept.
Accept.
What God allows.
What God allows.
You're better off anyway.
You're better off.
Face the fact.
Face the fact.
And you will never stray.
And you will never stray.
him, God.
So don't question God.
Just accept.
Just accept.
Accept.
Except
what God allows.
What God allows. Even you, when you don't understand it, it's working for your good.
Accept every trial.
Accept every trial.
Accept it even now.
Accept it even now.
Give you a smile.
He'll give you.
Give you.
He'll give you a smile.
Mr. Swinkin'. Put it.
Put it.
Put it.
Put it.
Put it in it.
In his hand.
He has the master plan.
He has.
Your trial,
your trial is for the stepping stone.
It will lead you.
It will lead you.
It will lead you.
Lead you.
Lead you.
Lead you.
About a heavenly,
heavenly,
heavenly road. God bless you, Dr. Matty Moss. We love you.
hit that note, Twinkie. Y'all want her to hit that note. They want to hit that note, Twinkie. They want you to hit that note, Twinkie. And we gonna dance. We gonna...
Hey, Miss Jerry.
God's been good to me.
Yes, Lord, and me too. Me too, me too, me too.
You don't worry about coming over here today. God said, cock your heels up and rest.
Okay, I will, but I will bring that turkey tomorrow, baby, because you
no,
won't.
No, no, no. Put it in the freezer and get it to me by Sunday.
Okay.
I'm going to cook the turkey, and I'm going to make him some squash and green beans and rice.
Okay, okay.
So bring it today, he'll mess up with the baby. He's stuck today because he's
okay, okay. Well, what
I... I need you to elevate and rest your heart. That is too much. And see, he already knew as the baby was coming to because that's a surprise coming and you ain't going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
She should have been on all and God.
Yeah. Well, dear, this is what I know. We're going to accept what God allows. We're going to accept every trial. Huh? Wait, where, who at? Oh, in there on the couch. Yeah, she died. But it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Okay. See, but what she got to do is just not answer that phone, especially at night. Because he pushing buttons. Don't answer your phone. Yeah.
I'll be turned off in a minute when I'm sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I'm going to do today. I'm turning it off.
And you
turn
sound
it.
Sad and you're hurt.
Yeah, well, I'm not hurt, but I'm going to lay down on that couch. I am tired. I cherish you. I'm going to lay down.
I was wondering, I said, Bob ain't talking much today. And God said, because I said, what's going on, God? God just needs to be
tired.
Yeah, I'm tired. And I couldn't.
I'm praying for her. I'm really praying. Been that, done that. Got the T-shirt.
Okay.
That's where I got my T-shirt and my pants. So.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, I will bring it Sunday.
This
the only thing, Jerry, if I got room in my freezer, because my freezer full.
Oh, honey, you balling like
that? Yeah.
You know, just wrap it up in the, you know how you just cut it in half?
Yeah.
Wrap it in four papers, make it a little ball.
Well, me and Nikki, we ate some yesterday, Jerry. That thing was juicy and good. Ooh, Lordy, have mercy. Lordy, Miss Cloudy. And I ate mine with a green salad.
Oh, yeah. Look at it. You're doing the right thing now, honey. You're doing the right thing.
Well, I'm trying. I'm trying, Miss Jerry. I'm trying around here.
Yeah, because I looked at you. That's what my baby girl, she got this together.